If you have your Bibles this morning, I just want to welcome all those that are watching online with us this morning. And we're going to continue on our study. You all remember what we were studying on? Anybody remember? If you're here Wednesday and Sundays, as long as I've been preaching, the last six, seven times, we talked about a subject that everyone has to learn to, conquer. So, any conquerors out there this morning? All right. Praise God. Ed, are you doing okay? You are a good man, Eric. Eric, what is your name again? Ed. Ed was one of my favorite students at the college, and you're still lovely as ever. Praise God. I'm glad you took your hat off for your every day. Praise God. We're getting closer to see Jesus. So where's your sidekick? You don't bring him this morning?
I guess he's repenting somewhere.
Okay. Okay. He better repent, all right. Well, we've been studying on how to conquer fear. We talked about the fear factor and how that works in our lives. We looked at the historical references, about fear. When we begin to first see fear in the Bible, we saw in the book of Genesis that it was first mentioned with Adam when he sinned and when he died. The Bible said that he died spiritually when he disobeyed God. He sinned, and at that moment, he died spiritually. Not physically, spiritually, because God told him, if you partake of that, which I told you not to, you will die. That's Genesis 2:17. If you could fix my mic a little bit, guys. I'm bouncing around here. So Genesis 2:17, I believe it is, that he died spiritually. And physically he didn't die for a long, long time. Thousands of years, hundreds of years later, he died. Hundreds of years later. And the Bible says that's why we have to be born again. Every man after Adam is spiritually dead. That's why Jesus came along and said, you must be born again. Amen. Anybody born again?
Yes.
Well, Ed, you better raise your hand. And you know what? Jesus on the cross, when he was on the cross, you remember Jesus, Easter time? He was on the cross. And the Bible said that Jesus gave up his spirit. And Isaiah prophesied that God made Jesus a sin offering for us. The Bible says that all the sin of mankind was laid on Jesus at the moment he died. So Jesus died spiritually first. For all of us, so that we don't have to miss eternity with God. So he died spiritually, and then he died physically, just like Adam did. And Jesus is called the firstborn from the dead. Amen. So Jesus was the firstborn. On the third day, this Bible says that in the fifth chapter, I believe in the Romans, that Holy Spirit went to get Jesus and quickened him. Everybody say, Holy Spirit, quickened Jesus from the dead. So he quickened Jesus from the dead. That word quickened means made alive. You see that verse of scripture in Romans, and also Ephesians, that God gave Paul a revelation of the cross. And Jesus The moment that God quickened Jesus or made him alive, Ephesians 2 and 1 and 2 talks about that, and verse 5 and 6. The moment that God quickened Jesus or made him alive, as far as God is concerned, when you become born again, you were quickened from the dead. Amen. Now, just like the moment that God made Jesus alive spiritually and physically, raised him from the dead, one day we will have new bodies. Don't you wish you had a new body now? We could at least do something with it now, at least wash it. Right? I'm not looking at anybody, okay? So so the moment Jesus quickened, we were quickened from the dead. We were made alive. That's why 2 Corinthians, the Bible says 5 and 17, we become new creatures. We become a new creation, in other words. That word says that you became a species that never existed before.
Hallelujah.
So that now the devil, when he tries to accuse you of your past life or anything you do, he can't. Because Jesus paid the price for you. And every blessing that was given, you know, that was promised to Abraham came upon us. I was telling my wife last night, we're going to bed. Brother Hagin, you know, our father in the faith, you know, he taught us. He said, I preached prosperity when I didn't have two nickels. It might not have been true for him at that moment, but it was true for God about what God said about him, that he wanted to prosper him. So you need to say, like, you need to say that if you're weak right now, you need to say, like the Bible says, I'm strong.
Amen.
Right now.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to, this is something you do by faith. Amen?
Amen?
And I remember somehow the Holy Spirit got that concept over to me. I didn't see it in the Bible, but the Holy Spirit gave it over to me. And when I came to this city, I came along this road over here, got on the Greyhound bus, or at least the first trip I had that I remembered in my book. You read my book?
Yeah.
You better read it again. Okay, so I came along the Lakeshore Drive. That's the only way you can come into the city here. You come through the Lakeshore Drive, and you come through this big cement where the tracks goes over, just coming into, you all remember that place, coming in there? And I remember, I wonder who lives here. And I didn't know anybody. And my first home was the Salvation Army. Well, I shouldn't say that. My first home was the DJ, Thunder Bay District Jail. And 2 weeks ago, they asked me, the Salvation Army, by the way, I just met the brand new pastors for Salvation Army. They're really nice, fine folks. They're actually like in the Army. I always tell people when I was young, I joined the army, the Salvation Army, I mean. And they asked me to come and do the kettlebells. Is that what it's called? So we rang that and made some money come in. And I was talking to someone. They said, maybe I should give you some stats here, that they raised, I think, I can't remember how many thousands of dollars just for the 6 weeks that they do that. It's astronomical. I think it was $700,000 just in a few weeks. That's pretty good. I'm going to start ringing bells myself. Amen? Yeah, sure. But anyway, I came here, you know, I didn't have anything, and somehow I had a concept, you know, I had a concept of God and Jesus and all that. I was not born again until I was 24 years old. And yet, when I began to move towards a better existence, somehow on the inside of me, I knew that there was a better life. How many people know that you, right now, you know there's something better for you? or you know, what you're going through right now. You might be broke right now. You might be sick, but there's something better for you right now. You might be going through a hard time, but I'm going to tell you, there's something better for you right now. Amen. There is something better. And so you got to say what the Bible says about, you know, I mean, you might be doing well right now. You might not need any cash like me. I always need cash. And so, because I always give it out. I just keep giving out money, and we have to raise thousands of dollars a month to run television. How would you like that responsibility? It doesn't feel that good often. I mean, sometimes you can't even pay rent. But you see, you got to be able to speak the word of faith in your life. There's a better way.
Hallelujah.
For our lives.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, God is pleased with us when we walk by faith. God is pleased, you know. You don't always feel good every day. I remember going to my doctor and saying, "Doctor, I just feel horrible." And I was sort of like a hypochondriac. I would diagnose all my symptoms before Google. Before Google ever existed, I diagnosed all my symptoms, tell the doctor what I got, what kind of medicine he should give me. So one day he gave me a prescription, sent me upstairs to see the psychiatrist. So he didn't want me. I remember one preacher says that Brother Hagin, you know, he was a real good one. He was an evangelist. He said, "Some of you all so bad, even the devil doesn't want you." Hallelujah. Well, anyway, that's my entertainment for this morning. All right, we're going to start on the scriptures. It's good to be in church and just have fun, you know. So praise God. I don't want to be, a bother to you. Coming to church, I got to go and listen to that guy again. Praise God. You know, I want to tell you something. You know, this is not grandpa preaching to you. This is a man of God.
Amen.
You know, when I'm up here, I'm not Roma Fisher per se. I'm a man of God standing in my office with the anointing.
Yes.
And if you believe that, you're going to get blessed.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, somebody will slap you. Amen. Okay, so we've been talking about dealing with fear. We had about 7 or 8 sessions. So this morning, we are going to continue along the same vein. So the question is, are you afraid of the future? And some of you may not be, but sometimes you might be. So what does the future hold? Psalm 34, 1-4. And when it comes to the future, some folks are afraid of many things. Text, Psalm 34, 1-4. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I want us to say that together. Let's do it together. Read, look at the screen, and let's all say it. 1, 2, 3. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Go ahead, continue. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Continue. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Let's say the last phrase. And he delivered me from all my fears. Let's say it again. And he delivered me from all my fears. One more time, come on. He delivered me from all my fears. Now, this is the later the king, he became a king. This is David, but he wasn't king then. He was being pursued. And he had a lot of things to fear. He's losing a lot, per se, even his life. He's being pursued for his life, among other things. And he said, I sought the Lord. You know, that's your only answer when it comes to fear. He said, I sought the Lord, and he, that God, delivered me from all my fears. So he says, all my fears. So let's go to John 14, and let's go verse 1. I'm reading the Amplified Bible here, or verse, I believe it's verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. There's other scriptures we could read. For time's sake, we'll just look at this verse. John 14:27, and let's go ahead and read this verse. Let's go read this together, just to help ourselves together. I find that when you say something and you read it, something happens on the inside of you. Let's go to verse 27. Okay, peace I leave with you, my own peace now I give you. And hey, is that the same version? Is this the amplified, regular amplified? Huh? Okay. Let's go start with the do not let your hearts, okay? Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, and cowardly and unsettled. Okay, this is Jesus Christ himself. He said, I'm going to give you peace. Because I'm going to give you peace, this is what something you have to do. And I want you to think about it in terms of what Jesus is talking to. He knows your future. He knows the day you were born. He knows the day you were not even born in this world. He already set the tone about everything in your life. He's already prepared everything for you to overcome. That's the way you have to see it in the scriptures. That's how the Bible reports it. So God already planned. You know, everything that we think that we've made a mistake, well, God has an answer for it. And that's why he said he can give us peace. And God has planned a wonderful life for all of us, every one of us, including Ed. So I want to propose this idea to you this morning as a teaching. This is my point of the whole sermon this morning, the message. You can go home, right home right after this and catch the stuff later. But this is the teaching I'm going to give you. I propose this idea. Your future looks better than your past. Your future looks better than your past. No matter how bad it's been, no matter how horrible it's been like, God has an ability, has an act, to be able to put things together that is not going to even sting you anymore. You know, I was listening to Joyce Meyer the other day. My wife had Joyce Meyer on television, and I came home for lunch, and she had some appointments, and the girls had some appointments. I came home, and they had Joyce Meyer on. Joyce Meyer talked about the fact that her dad sexually abused her a number of years, several years, and did a real number on her life, and she had husbands, I believe one or two, I think, or husband or whatever, and those husbands abused her, or those men abused her. She had low self-esteem, and she was rejected by these husbands and left alone in cities and abandoned and couldn't go home because of this sexual predator in her own house. That was abusing her in her own flesh and blood. How worse can that be? It makes you sick to think about that. And angry almost inside of you. And she said that it was horrible that she went through this whole ordeal. And I work with all kinds of people: sexual abuse people who lost parents and lost loved ones, and all kinds of stuff. I see tragedy. Left, right, I have to be able to stay on top of stuff. And, horrible tragedies in life. And lots of folks are scared of things, scared to live. But she said that God brought her out of that. She gave an example of the three Hebrew children. That they were I believe it's the book of Daniel there. They had to either bow down to that image that the king made, that they had to bow and to worship that. And the three Hebrew children said, we won't do it. They said, if you don't do it, we're going to throw you in the hot, fiery furnace, and you'll burn to death. So they kept praying to God and so on, and they were thrown in the fire. They didn't burn. They said, their commitment was, we're not going to do this, no matter what you do to us. That's your commitment to the world and to the devil. He said, no matter what, I ain't going to do this. Come on now. I ain't going to follow what the way the world does. I'm going to, this is my commitment. I ain't going to do this. And no matter what happens, even if you do throw me in and I die, I'm still not going to do it. That was their commitment. That's how much commitment they had. But they said, my God will, before they said, you know, no matter what, they said, my God will save me. No matter what, he'll save me. But if he doesn't, and you throw me in, I'm still not going to do it. See, first of all, their faith was, you can throw me in, but my God is going to save me. That's their faith. Their commitment was, no matter if you do anyway, I'm still not going to do it. That's their commitment. And you know what, Joyce Meyer said? She said, if you look at me right now, the way I talk and the way I carry on my life today and all the crusades and meetings I go to and speaking engagements and the way I talk and the way I look, do I look like that I've been abused? Do I sound like, do I look at, you know, I look at my own life and what I've gone through. You know, I don't look like an alcoholic, a drug addict. I don't look like I was in district jail and training school and bounced from house to house and saw all those tragedies and, you know, all the stuff that I went through as a kid and didn't eat, didn't have parents. I mean, you know, I lost my mom and dad for years. I couldn't see my mom and dad. When I came on the streets, had no one. Nobody to help me. And so I had no food. And, you know, I don't look like that today. So those three, like the three Hebrew children that came out, they didn't smell like smoke. They didn't smell like smoke. They weren't burned. There was no after effect. That's how good God is. And that's what he wants to do with every one of you that are suffering, have all kinds of trouble. Instead of crying on Facebook, instead of crying on Facebook with your status, why don't you tell how good God is? Come on now. Whining away, all these Christians, whining away how bad life is. Why don't you start writing something good by faith? Yeah. Hallelujah. There's my Facebook status today, guys. Now, your future looks a whole lot better than your past. Job chapter 8, verse 7, the new English translation. Job 8:7. The New English Translation. Did I give you my paperwork back there so that you can get quickly my information? I sent it to you last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Let me just give you this stuff right now. I work late? Okay. Oh, Ken, I'm sending you this. I'm not supposed to send you this. It wasn't supposed to be Ken. It was supposed to be Kendra. Okay. Now, Job 8:7. Did you find Job 8:7? How many of you got Job 8:7? New English translation. One guy got English translation. How about the French translation? How many of you got the French translation? Anybody got a French Bible? How many of you got any Ojibwe Bible? Nobody like that. Okay. Did you find it? There it is. That's the Amplified Bible. I need the kind of effect I need. New English translation. If you don't have it in there, we better buy a brand new translation. I'm sure we have other translations. The New English Translation. NET is not in there. My Lord Jesus, let's buy something here. Okay, just take that off right now, please. Okay, it says the English translation. We'll go to this one later. You can look at any other one you want. But it says this, your beginning will seem so small since your future will flourish. I'm giving you this because it has a better effect. You know, it'll say the same thing in the Amplified, but it just the word. I want to just give that effect. See, you have it. I have it too as well. Well, they they need it on the computer. Okay. So I wanted to give that effect so that you see, it says your beginning. You know, we all start somewhere. Maybe our start wasn't as great as maybe somebody else. But it doesn't matter if you're in God today. It doesn't matter where you are today. It doesn't matter how far. You could be doing so good right now without God participating the way we all could believe that you should be. But just imagine if you're doing good, just imagine if you had God in your life right now helping you, even plus you doing good. Just how much better your life will be. God always wants to improve whatever you're doing, because sometimes here's what people do when they get okay with God. They get off drugs, they come off the street, maybe they get a job, and then they forget about God. They don't go all the way. They just go halfway, and then they just get off and so on and so forth. But God wants us to go all the way with us, because there's so much more. And it doesn't just end when we die. There is so much more in heaven. It continues to flourish and grow. God is continually creating and showing us beautiful things and creating good things for us. God is awesome. It's fascinating to see God when you begin to study the awesomeness of God. And your Bible learning doesn't cease when you die in this world. You will continue to study the Word of God in heaven. Whoo, hallelujah. Now, I hope you guys are watching this online. So, a confident future we're talking about. A confident future. That's our title today, confident future. We're not afraid of our future. We're confident about it. We're sure about what God says in His Word about what's going to happen to us. We can predict what our life is going to be like. We need to say what God says. Last night when I went to bed, I said, Roma Fisher died in a good old age, full of riches and honor. That's a confession I made. What's your confession? I'm hardly going to make it. You know, we have to say what God says about us. Dare to step out and say what God says about you. There's hope in your future. Jeremiah 31:17, God is prophesying, or Jeremiah the prophet is prophesying about the children of Israel who were held captive by a wicked king. And that king, he was so powerful. Who's going to come and rescue the children of Israel from a great king who conquered the world? Like right now, some of you are saying, who's going to conquer? Who's going to take my kid out of drug addiction when it's such a vast and horrible thing happening right now? Who's going to come? Well, God can and God will. Who's going to rescue me from cancer? Who's going to rescue me from all this thing? You know, they say there's no cure for this. Well, God can. God can do it. Everything is possible. What about my life? It's been so bad that I went so down there, I can't get back up myself. Well, God will lift you up and get you out of there. Is that a little bit too enthusiastic to believe today? No, we can believe the Bible. Hallelujah. So in our as a beginning, so we're going to start right now. That's an introduction. Oh, it's almost over here. In our text, in the psalmist says, God has delivered me from all my fears. If He has delivered you and us from all our fears, then there's no more fear, no more nothing less to fear about. Jesus also said, we read earlier, 14:27, that one of the, let's take that phrase out, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why would God, Jesus, say all that if there's lots of stuff to be afraid? He doesn't He know that I have a real big problem here with my children? Does He know that how sick I am? Does He know how bad the situation is, that I don't have a job? Does He know how bad my marriage is? My wife's already gone. Does He know all that? I believe God does know all that. We have a hard time with our mind, and most people live with their minds only. Because your mind doesn't know anything more than has been fed. God knows everything. And he's already giving us a preview in his scriptures about what can happen in your life if you just believe him. If we would just dare to believe God. If you are afraid, then you have allowed yourself, according to what Jesus said, to be fearful. We do not have to fear or let fear dominate our lives any longer. We don't have to fear the future. Fear, as we've looked at, fear has to do with loss and death. We have been delivered from the fear of death. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says that we have all been delivered from that fear of loss and death. So we have a confident future. So Job 8, 7 in the New International Version, this is the same scripture we read earlier, NET, he says, your beginning will seem humble, so prosperous will be your future. I sent this to my daughter last night in Toronto. She was working till 2 o'clock this morning. She's trying to stay focused and pay her bills and do her work. You know, she has to work because there's no funding for this kind of stuff she's doing. There's no funding out there for it. She's got to try to make it on her own, so to speak. So she works at a Jack Astor's, I believe it is. Jack Astor's, that's a horrible name. And no, I'm sorry. But, you know, she's got to work different hours. And in recording industry, it's a different world out there. It's not like going to the office. I mean, everybody, just different people have different kinds of jobs. Like, you know, if you sell houses, your job, your life is different. You know, somebody asked me the other day, you know, man, I just see you doing all kinds of stuff. Well, I said, you know, I would be bored if I was just teaching in a classroom all day long. I have to do other things. I don't always sit in my office. I'm everywhere doing stuff. I was telling this people on Wednesday that Hockey Canada invited me to be participate in this program, and I didn't know whether or not I wanted to take it. They called me. They called Redwood Church. They called different churches in the city, and finally they got a hold of me because I seemed to be the only one available. Seemed to be the last guy they asked. It's like when I came to ministry and pastored the church, the last guy they asked is, oh, let's ask him. Oh, he'll take it. So I took it. Brother Hagin says, you know, any opportunity, just go ahead and take it. Amen. So so they asked me, said that we would like you to become the chaplain of the Thunder Bay Junior A North Stars. So they want me to come to Fort Francis to visit. I'll come visit you. So we have to go to this hockey tournament or something. So I said, I'll do it. But, I'm scared now. Okay. Anyway, I've asked, this guy there, Orville's son, Victor, he was sitting here last few weeks in church. He played for the North Stars. I said, you know, I said, you can come help me. And Timmy Kavar, your brother played for the North Stars, and I think he played for LU last year, was it LU, or the year before, Lakehead University? Or, who was a good hockey player? Mr. Vidla back here, he was a good hockey player. Praise God, he was a university guy, star man. I used to see him skating around the Boulevard Lake. Who's that guy, man? Hair flying in the air. Man, he was excellent out there. Amen. Well, anyway, that's my advertisement. You pay me later. So do not fear the future. Do you know what lies ahead of you? And a lot of people can answer that different ways. God knows what's in store for you. He has an excellent future plan, all planned out just for you. Your future looks better, as we mentioned, than your past. Do not fear because he has everything worked out. Discover right now from reading the scriptures what your future will look like. You know, anyway, here, as I mentioned to you, Jeremiah 31:17, who's going to rescue these children who were taken captive by the enemy of Israel? Who's going to go there and take the kids back when the enemy is so strong? And a lot of us are looking at odds. Who's going to come rescue me? Who's going to help me with the problem I have right now? I'm too afraid to actually respond even. Here's Jeremiah 31:17 says, your children will come back again to their own border. He says, the children that are taken captive, I will bring them out, he says. No matter how much of you're in captivity, God will rescue you. He'll rescue anyone. I want to go through, see what I can find here in this version here. I haven't pulled it up in Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. Verse 16, God's prophesying to these people. You know, they're held captive and they're fearful of their future and everything is lost. He said, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded. Thus says the Lord, your children shall return from the enemy's land. You know, a lot of us, we see our children. They talked to me. This Hockey Canada guy asked me, he said, you know what? Hockey is taking over people's lives. And I've seen it. He said, this program that we're running is all over the major junior hockey leagues, all over the tier two leagues, and all over the NHL. All these programs that we're running is the same program that we're running in these programs, in these areas of hockey. He said, you know, hockey is taking, kids are being lost because of it. Families are being lost because of it. I have a personal friend that I grew up in the ministry with. His son played in Kingston, a good hockey player. After a certain time, he never wanted to go to church anymore. And he learned a culture. There's a culture in there that you can't get them out of after once they're ingrained in that thing. Sometimes you have to watch. Listen, you have to watch that. The devil knows what he's doing. Jordan Stahl, the thing that I showed you yesterday, some of you, Jordan Stahl said, you know, after all the winning I had and all the money I made and all the accolades I made and all the cups I won, he said, I sat there with emptiness in my heart saying, is that it? He said, only God can fill that. God can only put that in there now go ahead and have the, tell my daughter the same thing. I sent her this last night. At 3 o'clock, that's why I begin to say it. I sent her that. I said, you know, your future looks a whole lot better. You might be working hard right now and doing all that stuff, but listen, your future looks a whole lot better. Amen. You know? I know all of us, we've worked hard for different things that we've had. But don't be afraid. Let's go ahead and do it. Like, even if you're in this church and we give it a worse job, God knows where to find you. You just be faithful what you're doing. And then when he finds you and uses you, then you don't want to go because you're too busy. Or it's too hard. Because, so no matter what may be happening right now, as long as we have God on our side, there's always hope. You know, that scripture has a reference to the historical, reference to the children of Israel who were held captive. But it's also a reference for us today, no matter what our captivity is. That God will bring you back to the land of prosperity, the land of victory, the land of simplicity of life where we can enjoy everything. Is this helping somebody this morning? So our future looks a whole lot better for us as God's people. We can't wear ourselves down from worry and fear that God cannot help us and put us through and get us through the hard times that we have right now. Here's what the psalmist said. Psalm 119, verse 81, New Living Translation says, I am worn out waiting for your rescue. But I have put my hope in your word. A lot of times we don't have immediate, instantaneous answers right away. But, let's put our hope in God's word. Because it's an anchor. It'll keep you stable till help comes, till you get out of this thing. You know, the Bible says dead people cannot praise God. God doesn't want you dead. Dead people cannot praise God. The Bible says over here, Psalm 38:18, you living, the dead cannot praise you. They cannot raise their voices in praise. Those who go down to the grave no longer have hope in your faithfulness. As long as we're alive and there is a God, you have hope. Amen. Glory to God. The world teaches us to be afraid of everything, to be afraid of life. And that's the way it is when we're growing up. We're conditioned somehow. Sociologists tell us that, you know, we're conditioned by those that are around us. And wherever you hang around, that's what you're going to be like. Look around in your life and see who's around you. That's what you're going to reflect. So if you want more than that, find somebody, even online, or find somebody, read their books, find out what to do. Let that book train you. Let their books mentor you. That's what I did with Brother Higgins' books. You know, I had over $2,500 worth of his, well, over back in the early 1900s. I sat down and started listening to Brother Higgins' materials. Just put myself to school. I didn't wait to go to Rainbow. I didn't wait to anything. I just went ahead and put myself to school. I sat there hour after hour, listening to all the tape sets and taking notes that someday I might preach these things. And by the way, you know, I read the Bible every year, every day, since 1998. Every day, read the Bible. And I'm a better preacher because of it, because I know where everything is in the Bible. I remember things. When I'm sitting down, I remember scriptures just like that. That's why I preach better than this guy. No, he's got his own gifting. His gifting is exhortation and helping me. He makes me look a whole lot better. Amen. I love Pastor Ken. If I didn't have him, I don't know who I'd pick on. No. You know, he's my best friend. I'm telling you right now. He's my best friend. Don't you bother him. Okay. So the Amplified says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. You cannot get this kind of security from fear in anything else except God. He said, Jesus said, you can't find this kind of peace that you're having, that you're, you know, in this world. You can't find it. You can't find it in the hockey games. You can't find it in the Maple Leafs. Surely you can't find it in the Canadians right now. You can't find this kind of peace. And pizza, whatever it is, you're trying to eat yourself away. I'm telling you, you can't find peace like that. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be troubled. What don't you understand about it? Do not do that. People say, well, I can't help it. No, you can. Jesus said you can. And if you can't do it, start doing it and start learning, because Jesus said you can do it. He'll never tell you something you cannot do. He's not unjust. Put that in your status. Let my perfect peace calm you down. Calm you in every circumstance, and give you courage and strength for every challenge. John 14:27, Amplified. We've got challenges. Don't let yourself get upset. Don't be fearful about life. Jesus said we don't have to. Given to fear. He says, you know, we've all done that. We've all gone through that. We've gone into sin and worry. Most people think worry isn't a sin, but it's a sin just like you were if you were on drugs. We look at everybody else. Look at that guy on drugs. Look at that. And you spend all your night worrying. Jesus said it's the same thing as if you were taking drugs. We categorize sins in little containers in our minds from our cultural upbringing or social standing, whatever it is, that we categorize sin. This is worse than the other thing. But God says sin is just as worry as any other sin. Don't believe it. Look in the scriptures. Listen, is the word of God his command? Yes. Philippians 4:16 says, do not worry about anything. Are you worried? Then if you're not doing that, then you're sinning. You're doing the opposite of what the word says. And people are worrying themselves sick, not eating, knots in her stomach, can't think straight, sweating profusely, the heart's pounding, they're weak in the knees, they can't sleep, they can't enjoy people. When you're sitting with them, they're thinking about something else, you're looking at them, trying to give them a conversation, and they're gone somewhere. And so, you know, we need to be able to get a hold of that. Philippians 4, 6, 1 Peter 5, 7 is the word of God. He says, don't worry. Don't be fearful. So we don't have to give in to worry. We can resist fear and worry like we resist anything else from the scripture, from the devil. Worry and fearful is sin. James 4, 7 says this. Therefore to him, James 4, 7 says this. Therefore to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. It's not good to worry. And if you're doing it, then it's sinful. You're disobeying God. And no wonder the devil has got a heyday in your life, because you keep doing what God said not to do. Just keep thinking about that problem and not giving up to God. When you have it, when you're worrying about it every day, when you're trying to figure it out every day, then you have it. God doesn't. As long as you're festering and fretting about it and telling people how bad it is and complaining about it and getting anxious about it, then God doesn't have it. You have it. You got to give it up to God. The Bible says give it up to God. Just let it go. Cast your care means throw it on God. Cast your care means throw it on God, all your worries. Amen. That doesn't mean you'll never be tempted to worry or have fear. It doesn't mean you'll never have an opportunity to have a fearful experience. But it does mean you can overcome it, and you can say, I know I have this worry right now. Sorry, Lord, I'm going to get back on track over here. We need to have confidence in God. When it comes to fear and all the stuff that we're going through right now, we need to have confidence, strict confidence on God and nothing else. Nobody, no person. If we're depending on someone and relying on them for all our existence and all our loving and kindness and love or whatever it is, then it's not God that's helping you. You're depending on somebody else. You're putting them as an idol. Huh? Oh, if he died, what would I do? No wonder you're in the shape you're in. Start believing God, and that the only person in the world that can help that person is you trusting God about that person right now. Amen. And you're the only one. I can't afford to get into worry. There's a lot of people that need me to be straight with God and to be on target. If I can't, if I'm all worried up, and how am I going to pray for the next guy? How are you going to pray for the next person? I remember, you know, when I was smoking cigarettes and enjoying my cigarette, I wonder why God would want to take that away from me. After all, I quit drinking. And I have these cigarettes and go to church Sunday morning, hallelujah. You know, I got my cigarettes in my pocket. And thank God, you know, for his deliverance. And thank God, he's not going to kill you. He loves you no matter if you smoke or not. You'll go to heaven with smokes in your pocket. But you can't take that in. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying that, because there's a point in there somewhere. Looking at Nathan scared me. But anyway, you know, we have all our, you know, problems, eh? But, you know, we rationalize a lot of stuff. Look at this, Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27, I believe is verse 3 here. He says, though a host should encamp against me, my heart, everybody say, my heart shall not fear. That's when everything is against you, life and death matter, everybody's against you, the Bible says, my heart shall not fear. How could someone say that? When, you know, you got somebody dying there. I mean, they're dying, man. I mean, your family member is dying. And they could die any moment. You better start worrying pretty big. We're all tempted to have that. We're all human beings, but Jesus said not to do it. And that's, could it be why we're not winning out so many battles and seeing the victory and miracles that we should be seeing? It's because people are doing these kind of things opposite of what the Bible's telling us to do. Is this helping somebody?
Yes.
Who is it helping in their place, in this place? Praise God, just a few of you. It says in there, though war should rise against me, in this I'll be confident. So we get confidence at looking at God instead of the problem. We get confidence at looking at God's word than anything else. We don't get our eyes on people. We don't get our eyes on stuff and circumstances and situations for our salvation. Don't ever say this, as we mentioned before, how am I going to ever exist without him or her? If they leave me, I'm going to die. Don't ever say stuff like that. God has other plans for you. No matter how bad it seems. The devil likes to get you on a pity party and crying about all your junk and stuff and that old stupid guy that you have. Let him go. Sorry about that. Because, you know, we have so much problems with people not being so unfaithful to each other. If that guy doesn't, if he's doing that, then he doesn't love you. It's the first commandment in the Bible. Sometimes when your closest companions will leave you, you must always put your trust in God no matter what happens. Look at what the psalmist said here. Even if your so-called closest parent leaves you. Psalm 27, verse 10 says, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I felt like this. Somebody said, I hated my mom and dad for years, but it didn't do me good. One time, and I thank God I have people who I listen to. He said to me, Roma, you got to put this way. You got to stop hating your mom and dad. They were sick when they did all that. You got to let God help you, heal you. You got to stop hating Indian affairs. I mean, that's how I was grew up like that. You know, whoever brainwashed me about everything about Indian affairs, too, I had some bad thinking. Blaming everybody. I got to take responsibility. I could no longer blame Indian affairs that I was on the street. I could no longer blame my mother and father that I was on the street. I had to say for the first time, it's my problem. I got to do it. I got to get out of here. I got to forgive. I got to move. I got to move towards something better than what I got. If I'm going to get better, I'm going to have to do it. And God's going to help me. Amen. How many people know that people need to hear this kind of message today? I need to hear it. Thank God I'm going to watch this program. Reason to fear. We say, well, I have a reason to fear. If you quit and you faint in life and quit because you fainted because you've never expected anything that from God that he's going to do something for you. Your expectations were on people or circumstances to get you out of stuff and things to make you happy. We need to expect God to do what he said through his word. Psalm 27:3 says this. This is the reason why I'm not fainting. This is the reason why I don't quit. This is the reason why that makes me go forward and keep taking more projects than I'm able to do at times. Amen. I'm a machine, he says. I'm a man. Okay. My wife said to me, don't you have any feelings? I said, not right now. She said, you're just like Spock. I said, sometimes by faith you have to be that way. She looks at me, look at Spock over here. She said, kids, look at Spock. And he's got a pointy ear too. Amen. Psalm 27, I believe verse 13, if it's there. I could have fainted. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, people faint because they don't see the goodness of God in their life. They don't see how God can make anything good out of the bad situation they're in. Their you know, they're judging God based on their culture, based on their education, based on their own, upbringing or experience of living, or someone else's experience of living. So they're judging God based on someone else didn't get it, so therefore they're not going to get it. They didn't make it. They had the same thing, so we're not going to, all the doctors said this, and they said that, we're not going to make it. That's why people die. My mother, I looked at her face to face. She said, son, one day I'm going to be healed. I knew she was not going to be healed because she said, one day I'll be healed. Faith says, I'm healed now. I know I'm sick. I'm healed. According to the word of God, I'm healed. Faith receives in the spirit. My own brother, 52 years old, said, bro, pray for me. And he died of cancer. And he never learned to live to fight. And when the day came to fight, he couldn't fight because he didn't know how to fight, because he never listened. He needed a miracle that time. And he died. Wait on the Lord, verse 14 says, and be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. I say, wait on the Lord. There's better days ahead. Proverbs 4:18 and 19 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light, shining more and more to a perfect day. There's a perfect day coming, the perfect day. The better days are ahead of you. As you walk with God, the Bible said the path of the just gets brighter and brighter and brighter and better and better and better and better. We have to walk with God, not just shallowly walking with God. I read the Bible when I want to. If I got time, I go to church. Oh, I'll pray whenever there's an emergency. Oh, yeah, let's live and be merry. That's not how you live with God. That's not how you, nobody's watching me right now. Let's go ahead and take these things. Nobody will ever know. My wife will ever know that I'm watching these things. Huh? That's not how you win. And when the time when the kids need you, you can't pray because you got too much junk in your heart to hear God. And that's why it takes you so long to get in faith. By the time people need you to be instant in season, the Bible says. So when it's time for you to believe God for an emergency, you're just scrambling away, trying to repent, trying to figure out where God is. Where's God? People just running around everywhere. God is inside of me. He'll never forsake. He'll never leave you. I think we got enough to say here this morning. We got some more to say. Sit down and relax a little bit. Let's get no. No, we're going to close right now. We're closed. I got some more stuff. We can talk about this Wednesday again. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. I just sense the anointing right here. Glory to God. The anointing is here to break yokes, to break fear. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Is there any singers, musicians in the house? Bring them all. If they're here, if you happen to be in town, come on in. Hallelujah. Roll up your sleeves. Glory to Jesus. I love God. Everybody say, I love God. Say, I love peanut butter. Remember this and when we had a little, back in the day? God's awesome, man. He is so awesome. More awesome than we thought. Did I do okay? I love you. Hallelujah. Isn't she a sweetie? Praise God. Bless you. Oh, Auntie, I love you too. Praise God. Glory to God. You know what? God's good. He wants to do something in our lives. He wants to change our lives. He wants to make everything better. There's no fear anymore. No fear. The fear will not dominate you in the nighttime anymore. God's word went inside of you, changing things. He's already prepared a place for you. He's done it already. Don't worry about the future. Your future is a whole lot better than your past. I got more scripture to show you that it's going to work out all right if we just stick with God. As I said, you know, do I look like I was in the fire? No, I look pretty good. They said, man, Pastor, you look wonderful this morning. I used to sleep in the jail cell over here at the DJ. Sometimes black and blue, got beaten up again. Teeth missing. Sleeping in the pee over there in the washroom. That's me. That's where I was. I'm telling you this because it's true. A lot of times I didn't know where I was when I woke up. In jail, praying, God, get me out of here. Get me out of here this time. I'll never do it again. I go out the first day, get out. I'm back out there in the bar, under the bridge, drinking wine again. Those people that you see walking across the street over there, uncovering those native men, that's me. That was me. But I'm not there anymore. God can take a drunk and put something into them and make them into somebody. Amen. He can do it. If he did it for me, he's going to do it for you. You're much better, further ahead than I am. God can help you today. No matter who you are, God can do it for you. Hallelujah. Lift that hand and bless God, everybody. Come on. Glory to God. Bless you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. You got a song that fits in here, somebody?